Welcome to this episode of Stonewall Spotlight, part one of the Queer in Quarantine series. All our lives have been affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. We face individual and national challenges from the spread of this virus. Under self-isolation, we may be alone, but the LGBTQ+ community will always stand together.
That's correct, Mackenzie. And in this episode, we're going to be featuring a plethora of voices from across the LGBTQIA and feminist spectrum. We're excited to get into it and introduce you to our first voice, which comes from Stonewall's endorsed candidate for Los Angeles County District Attorney, George Gascon.
The most challenging thing for me concerning social distancing and what we're currently experiencing is the inability for us to come together and be able to establish a human connection that we often would if it weren't for this. I'm also very concerned with the current district attorney who will say publicly certain things, but they're doing other things that are placing vulnerable people at risk, especially people of color, young people in the LGBTQ community that are often vulnerable, they're often victimized by human traffickers, assaults, maybe more susceptible to becoming homeless. So one of the things that I'm very concerned is how do we create the right level of human connection? How do we create the services, the intervention that is going to protect communities in general, but especially vulnerable communities such as the LGBTQ community? And that is an area that I am working on and will continue to work on to make sure that we do the right things. Clearly, this is not the first pandemic that the Stonewall community has faced or the LGBTQ community in general. Going back to the 1980s and 90s, the AIDS epidemic caused horrendous losses to our community and the LGBTQ community. My own personal family was touched by two deaths. So I know what it's like to be close to people that perished during that time. And also this was a time of crisis where there was a lot of discrimination. Vulnerable people in the LGBTQ community were targeted. And it's very important as a professional in law enforcement to make sure that the law enforcement community is drawing upon the experiences of the 80s and 90s, and that we do not make the same mistakes, that we provide the level of support and protection that is required, and that we work as partners with the community to take those lessons that were learned from the past and that we don't repeat the same mistakes. Again, my role in the criminal justice system would be one that is very consistent with what I've always done, which is to ensure that we're doing the right things and that we're protecting especially vulnerable people during a crisis like this.
I wanted to share a little bit of my personal experience. My partner Kaylee and I found ourselves out of the country when borders and flights started to get shut down in mid-March. We were in Spain visiting her mother when the country just went into lockdown. And rightly so, it was one of the European countries hardest hit by COVID-19. It was a Friday that Kaylee's mother took the last bus home. Otherwise, she would have been stuck in a different region because Spain wasn't even allowing people to use public transport regionally. And that Saturday, the streets were just vacant. There was nobody out. We took our scheduled flight, and by that Sunday, they were turning flights around in the air. They weren't letting people out of the country, and we felt so lucky to get out in the nick of time. We just wanted to get home so we could go under self-quarantine and be safe. Well, that was over a month ago, and I'm happy to say that we're both healthy, a little stir-crazy some days, but we'll get through it. And now let's hear from Lucky Alexander, a member of our trans community, talk about the difficulties of self-isolation and how we can engage with our community and family during this time.
Hi, my name is Lucky Alexander, and I am the founder of Invisible Men. I'm also the employment director for Trans Can Work, an organization that helps trans folks with resources and employment. One of the things that I found most challenging about social distancing in this whole COVID era is that a lot of the community interaction that I get from being in community and working with community is the events and us actually being in the same space. Talking to a lot of my clients, I've also realized that that's the same for them as well. For a lot of them, that's the only time that they are not isolated is when they're at one of these community events and they're engaging with community. And so I know that is causing a lot of trepidation for a lot of our folks around not being able to be in community and have that human interaction that everyone kind of needs. One of the things that I find interesting about everything that's going on with COVID-19 is that there are a lot of points of inspiration that come out of this. For me personally, I'm used to running all the time. And now that I'm forced to sit down and be still, I'm working from home, but I get to spend a lot more time with family. So one, you know, I dance with my wife for the first time in the middle of our kitchen, just because we were together in the middle of the day and, you know, we were both a little stressed out, but being able to have that kind of time with her was beautiful. It was something that I probably would have never done pre-COVID, right? And I would have never like taken the time to really be still and see her for who she is. Another fun thing that has come out of this is my kids. My kids are 2 hours away from me in Lancaster and I'm in LA. So I had to figure out how to interact with my kids via, you know, video chat and the mundane, let's just sit and have a conversation and, you know, play tic-tac-toe together online and all of that. But my three-year-old actually figured out how to play hide and seek with me, her, and the big kid. So I have two older kids that are living at home with their mom along with the three-year-old. And my three-year-old managed to take the phone and took off running and all of these. She just played an impromptu game of hide and seek with the big kids. And we were ultimately found because once I realized what was happening, she kept going, shh, daddy, shh. She didn't want to be found. And she stuck the phone like under her butt and under a blanket. And we were ultimately found because I was like, we're over here. But when they found her, like she exploded in this laughter that was just amazing. So we figured out how to be able to still interact with one another, even though we're miles and miles apart. And I'm noticing that other people are doing the same. I saw someone get married online. It was beautiful. And they had folks drive by and drop off wedding gifts. It was beautiful. But I think that's the most inspirational part of everything that I'm noticing right now is the fact that people are finding other ways to engage with one another outside of just social media or just video chatting. Like they're getting really creative. There are actual events that are going on. There are actual engagements that are happening. And so I think that as a human race, we find ways to invent ways to socialize, especially when it comes to our queer community, because for a lot of us, we are all we have. We are the only family that we have. We're the family that came together because we were the outsiders. So if there's anything that I want to kind of tell everyone that's listening, cis, trans, or LGBT or not, I'd like to tell them, keep inventing new ways to engage community. We're all in this together. And as long as we do find ways to engage our community and engage each other and keep each other afloat through all of this stress and turmoil and trepidation and everything else, keep finding ways to engage one another, but definitely social distance until we get the all clear and, you know, wash your hands.
Hello everybody, Marcus Lovingood here, and I'm sure that I am not the only one that was posed with our queer in quarantine questions that really didn't know what to say. But I would like to share a story with all of you that has been my experience while I have been in quarantine and paying attention and abiding by the stay-at-home orders. As some of you might know, or all of you, I sit on the Downtown Los Angeles Neighborhood Council. I represent the historic core business community, as well as I am the Vice President of Outreach and Communications. Luckily, I had pushed through a few proposals a few months back to fund some PSA projects. And so while I was in quarantine, I was watching all of these reports, especially in Italy, of citizens coming out on their balconies and singing at some exact time every evening in support of their healthcare workers. And this really hit me very, very closely into the heart, because as you all know, I am trying to save Broadway and create a theater district here in downtown Los Angeles. And I thought, what an incredible way for us to show our support for not only healthcare workers or first responders, but also essential workers. And as a lot of you know, Los Angeles is really, really spread out. So it's a little different than, say, New York. And New York is doing something very similar. They applaud their healthcare workers at 7 p.m. every night. And it has really gained incredible steam and has been an amazing way for everyone to participate in our own self-quarantine, participate in an effort to support each other. So I decided, you know, we live here in downtown Los Angeles. It's a little different than the broad Los Angeles because we are more of a metropolitan city in buildings. I figured if they can do it across the world, then we can do it here in downtown. So I called up President Patty Berman, who was in quarantine herself, and proposed her this idea that we should propose a hashtag DTLA applause at 8 campaign that would encourage everyone to come out of their windows at 8 p.m. and applaud our healthcare workers, first responders, and essential workers. And so, small amount of Facebook advertising that we had, and just one tiny little graphic that said, join in, clap for our frontline workers at 8 p.m. every night. Show your support. For the whole month of April, we shared it on our social media. And the first night, went to my window and I opened it up and I kind of listened right at 8 p.m. And, you know, I could hear maybe like a few things here and there. I could not really chalk it up to my campaign, but it was just a start. So I figured, you know, first night, it's done. We can see what's going to happen second night, same thing. Not much commotion, but I could hear a little person, you know, let out a whoop here and there, something like that. And then night three. I mean, it was just incredible. I could have not even imagined how fast it could spread. By the weekend, the entire downtown Los Angeles was participating in our downtown LA applause. In all honesty, the most incredible thing about this, and we just have a few days left here in April, and I hope it continues, is that a lot of people are thinking that this is going to continue to bring us apart. It's going to further contribute to the divide in our politics and our country. But I actually think the exact opposite. I actually think that this is bringing us together more than ever. I think that this shows that us as humans care about each other more than we even thought possible. And I think that we need to lean into that. We need to meditate on that. We need to remember this experience. This is my queer in quarantine experience. And it's beautiful in the midst of something so, so difficult. At the end of the day, we are all going through this together. And I hope that everyone across Los Angeles can applaud our frontline workers.
Just like with the AIDS crisis and the systemic targeting of LGBTQ people through bigoted and unconstitutional public policy, Republican governors are using the COVID-19 pandemic to target women and girls from all walks of life to restrict their access to safe and legal abortion. Stonewall is both an LGBTQ and feminist club, and we need to do all that we can to advocate for the continued funding and access to Planned Parenthood, and to make sure they have the access to personal protective equipment to keep both their providers and patients safe. Please call your elected representatives at all levels and urge them to stand and support Planned Parenthood.
And that does it for this first episode of Queer in Quarantine on Stonewall Spotlight.
And thank you everyone who shared their voice with us.
Please tune in next month for our second edition of Queer in Quarantine. If you would like your story featured in the next Queer in Quarantine, go ahead and reach out to either myself or Mackenzie, and we'd love to feature you. Thank you all so much. I am Marcus Lovingood, and this is Stonewall Spotlight.